Is there rest and freedom in Christ, even in adversity? That's our topic today on MemCare by Radio. Welcome to MemCare by Radio. I am Scott Hollinger, your host, and this is another program in the series Truth That Sets Free. Edmund Speaker is with us again today, and he'll speak to the theme, Is There Rest and Freedom in Christ, Even in Adversity? You know, we all experience the daily challenges, setbacks, sickness, and other kinds of real problems and trials in life. Nobody, not a single one of us, is excluded. For those who do expect that because they belong to Christ, their life will be without adversity, well, I'm afraid they are just not too well informed. Actually, Christ never promised to his disciples an easy life. When he prayed to God the Father before he went to the cross, he said, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. A Christian cannot expect that God makes an exception for him when it comes to the normal things of life. But he can expect to have the presence and protection of God from the evil one in whatever circumstance or situation that he is in.
Scott, you are so right in saying that. If any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is under the impression that his life will be like a sweet walk in the park, just because the Lord of the universe will look after all his wants and desires, he better starts looking to his Bible. That is not what Christ has promised. He said, in the world you have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. He also says, let your heart not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. Actually, besides the normal struggles in life, there is an additional dimension of adversity a disciple of Christ must expect, and that is to suffer for the sake of the gospel.
One question, though, Edmund, that I have, is there rest and freedom in Christ even in adversity?
Scott, as I started to prepare for this message at a prayer summit this week, a man I had never seen before walked into my room. He was an African-American and introduced himself as my roommate. Later in the conversation, he mentioned that he had just laid to rest his dear wife of almost 40 years. Mm. She had died because of cancer, and her funeral was 4 days before.
Wow.
This man was in pain, but he wanted to be with God's people at the summit. Ron, that was his name, had children and grandchildren, but he mentioned a couple of times how he's alone now and has to deal with it.
Yeah.
But he also mentioned a couple of times how he's okay, in spite of all. At one point he said, she loved the Lord, we had a good life, and she died in peace. Since we had some free time that afternoon, Ron soon excused himself and left the room again. He wanted to walk around the campground. When I looked up, I saw that he had placed his very small bag with his clothes on the bed right beside his big and well-used Bible. That picture spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt that Ron was in deep pain. He certainly had begged for his wife to be healed,
right.
But God had not answered according to his desires.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, he was still okay because he knew that God's ways are perfect, even when we do not understand him. Ron, while dealing with pain and grief, had also peace and was resting in the Lord because he trusted the eternal promises of God. A Christian has hope.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, the Bible speaks about that day when the dark night of grief is over and resurrection morning comes, when God will wipe away every tear from our eyes.
Edmund, you affirm that Christians are not exempt from suffering. They experience the same kind of problems and trials that other people experience. I guess the difference being that they can count on the promises of God.
Yes.
So Edmund, tell us, are those promises just for the future, or is there real help and peace and even rest in adversity right now and right here while we are on earth?
Well, Scott, this is an important question and requires us to look back into what Christ accomplished through his coming to earth and dying on the cross. The fall of man into sin and the consequent curse that came on creation has brought this world under the rule of Satan, the enemy of God. He's the prince of this world. Christ, through his perfect life and vicarious death on the cross, paid the price for mankind's redemption. Mm-hmm. He forever overcame the powers of darkness. Satan has been defeated. The head of the serpent has been crushed. This is why Christ could say to his disciples before he went, or before he gave the Great Commission, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me." We are living in a world that has been set free from the domain of evil. Nevertheless, God has not gotten rid of the devil yet, nor is he taking all those who believe immediately to him in heaven. Rather, he has given us the mandate to proclaim the gospel to all nations. Why? The Bible says, because God is patient, not wishing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Now, in the meantime, the godly does go through suffering on this earth, mm-hmm. as anybody else, until Christ's return. But there is a difference. He is not alone. Those who believe in Christ are made a new creation. Mm-hmm. They become children of God. Christ lives in them. Through redemption, the great mystery the Apostle Paul speaks about, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, has taken place. Therefore, believers can experience the presence of Christ even in adversity. This is also why the Apostle Paul could pray, "And may God supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus."
Okay, Edmund, so we've established that believers are not exempt from suffering. Mm-hmm. And we've also noted that while the believer goes through suffering, he can count on the presence and the peace of God because Christ lives in him. Yes. And then you've mentioned the freedom in Christ that a believer can experience in suffering. What do you mean when you say freedom? Perhaps you could elaborate on that for us.
Well, freedom is the opposite from slavery or bondage. Slavery and bondage generates a spirit of fear. And the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, rather of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Mm. I am free when I can choose what is pleasing and in accordance with the nature of Christ who lives in me. I must not be anxious about anything. I can, by prayer and supplication with thanksgivings, make my requests known to God. The Bible says that my free choice to keep my mind focused on what pleases God will produce the peace of God in me. The Bible also says that when we use our freedom in Christ to fill our mind with whatever is true, is honorable, is right, pure, is lovely, is good, or is of good repute, is excellent and worthy of praise, the God of peace will be with us. Even in the darkest hour, when the devil roars like a lion, or when he attacks from within and without,
right.
I must not give in, rather have the freedom to choose. The Bible invites the believers to submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Yeah, I know that there are certain people who feel that if we are facing adversity, that somehow we must have sinned. What do we say to people like that who feel that, you know, life must be good because we are Christians? How can life be bad? How can we have adversity? And yet, as you've said, we do have adversity. So how do we answer those people who feel that if things aren't going so well for you, then you must have blown it. You've sinned big time. And you deserve, in fact, God expects you to be rich and wealthy and healthy and all the other things that I hear about.
I think it might be a matter of misplaced priorities. As long as we focus really on our material well-being and right. feel that is really where the grace of God has to manifest itself, we really miss the real dimension of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not about this world. The kingdom of God is not about what I have. The kingdom of God is about who I become in the Lord Jesus Christ and how God can manifest himself in me. Now, does God want to punish me? Does he rejoice or enjoy when I suffer? No.
Right.
No. But because he has not taken us out of this world yet,
yes.
He has left us in this world. He is helping us in midst of all the consequences of sin, and suffering is one of those, to experience his grace being more powerful, being bigger than all those matters around us. The Bible says, because he who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So I would be very careful in counting God's blessing just by what you see, feel, can eat and wear and possess,
right.
but rather by understanding that all things work for good to those who love God and accept from his hand whatever he sends me as an invitation to trust him more.
Edmund, thank you very much. And I think that is the perfect final hammer blow on our thought today on, is there rest and freedom in Christ, even in adversity? You've been listening to MemCare by Radio, and today Edmund Speaker continued his series on Truth That Sets Free. Next time, Edmund will conclude his series with a devotional on biblical leadership. I'd like to thank you for allowing us to share this time with you today, and I trust it's been an encouragement for you. I'm Scott Hollinger, and on behalf of Edmund Speaker, our prayer for you is that God will bless you this week in your work for Him.